Oh, it is
protected. Is it a protected finish?
TM.
Doesn't necessarily have to be a protected finish, TM. Protected finish?
It will be a very protected finish.
And he never pinned the champ! He never pinned the champ!
Welcome to the Stomping Grounds, Kicking Ass and Taking Names review. We are the Protected Finish. I'm your host, Heartbreak Biz, joined by Gabe, the Snake, Cowboy Bob, and No Sell Drew. Once again, we are four randos who love watching grown men fake fight in spandex while getting it on in the squared circle.
I like that butt.
So here we are. We're going to talk about Stomping Grounds.
And it is time to kick ass and take names.
Which was the first Stomping Grounds they've ever had, right?
Yeah.
This was a brand new pay-per-view?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. Almost as good as Great Balls of Fire.
Much better than Great Balls of Fire. But first, before we get into the review of each match and break it down, what do you guys think? I think it was a very pleasant surprise of a pay-per-view. I liked it a lot more than I thought it was going to be, and I was entertained.
I was also entertained. I love that the bar was, oh my god, it wasn't incredibly shitty.
The bar? The bar? Like Cesaro and Shane?
Because we don't just set the bar. We are the bar.
No, the bar for enjoying WWE is, wow, I wasn't bored out of my mind, so this was really good. But I did enjoy it.
Yeah,
right. Top heavy?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say it again. I think wrestling is like pizza. There's only like a so bad it could be.
And it's only pizza. So much you could take.
That is very wise words spoken.
What I meant by top heavy, and Gabe, you could get into this, meaning was it kind of like WrestleMania and other things where the best stuff was in the beginning and it kind of dragged out and you fatigued a little bit?
Yeah, I can see why you would say that. It really did start off well. That cruiserweight match was actually pretty good. I'm the first one to admit that I wasn't looking forward to this pay-per-view. I thought it was going to be a glorified house show. But, you know, I admit that I was completely wrong and I was really entertained. And in some ways, it could have been comparable, if not better, than WrestleMania.
Hot take. That's controversial. True?
Don't tell the Saudi prince that.
What's as good or better than WrestleMania? WWE Super Showdown.
Yeah, I thought it was a solid show. You know, nothing really groundbreaking or surprising, but it was a fun show. Nothing terrible.
Better than we've expected, I think, recently with two pretty lackluster pay-per-views, the Super Showdown, Raw, and SmackDown. So this was definitely better than we all thought it was going to be. If you look back to our preview, we weren't too excited about this card, and it turned out to be pretty well. So let's get right into the actual card. We'll start with the pre-show. And in the beginning, what did Tony Nese say when he came down the aisle? Did you catch that?
I did not catch
it. He said, going to steal the show before the show starts. And I thought that was pretty cool. Nese, Gulak, and who's the third member? Akira Tozawa. He's in it so much, I should have known that. Three very different styles. I thought that was awesome. Gulak being the more power guy, bringing that into it. Nese is a great, great athlete. Premier, some would say. And Akira was good. He had his spots, but that one pile driver that Nese did, pile driver, where he basically killed him. It had an NXT vibe to that match, I think, with the hard hitting, the kicks. And it was showing you what they could do. And the guy with the most personality, I think, won, which is Gulak. He doesn't do the PowerPoints anymore.
PowerPoint presentation!
But he's a guy who could move it a little bit forward. So I liked it a lot. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, definitely a lot of mat-based wrestling brought by Gulak. That power driver was insane. I mean, I really thought that he was either concussed or paralyzed.
He hit his head on that.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I mean, luckily it seems like he hit the back of his head, so pretty much saved them there. One thing I'd like to mention, as Heartbreak Biz just mentioned, do you know that when Tony Nese was coming to the ring, that statement was also uttered by AC Slater prior to going to the football field upcoming game.
Is that true? Drew's going to have to fact check that.
That'll be a fact check, because I don't think they ever showed them at Bayside High on the football field. But anyway.
It's true. Also, well, they might have been exiting through the max onto the field, because they're always in the max. But
No more Saved by the Bell talk.
What I really liked about this match, first of all, Tony Nese was correct, because at 3.5 bobs, it does steal the show. That is my top match of the night. And I have to say, what I like about this is, I don't watch 205 Live, but part of why I didn't watch 205 Live is because it was basically the same exact WWE formula, except it's little guys.
Oh, no, the action, if you watched it recently, the action has been probably the best pure wrestling that there is. But it's, yep. You know, you spend so much time watching so much wrestling a week, where are you going to fit that time? I do look forward to when they have a pay-per-view match. That's when I get exposed to them the most. And this shows you what WWE is capable of putting on if they just let these guys go.
Yeah.
It should feel like a different brand, and it did. And it was and it was great. 3.5 bobs.
Now, can it be said that it's appearing to be a bit better because Vince might not have his hands fully on this, just like NXT?
Yeah, you know, it's because Vince does have, you know, it's Triple H. He does the NXT, and that's why I felt it had that NXT vibe. But the basic thing is, NXT 205, they are of the WWE umbrella. Things aren't great right now overall, but that shows you what they are capable of doing, and, you know, that's great. Drew, what'd you think real quick?
Yeah, I thought it was a great match, really exciting, super fast paced, really shows the best of what 205 Live makes you. Makes me wish I had the time to fit it in.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, maybe this is an argument that they get on the main show, not the pre-show all the time, you know, going forward. And a guy like Gulak might bring that forward. All right, so as a quick rating for this match, I'm going to give it 4 stars. I don't do bobs, as you heard the cowboy say before, because he's an egomaniac, and it's, as Gabe the Steak says, silly tomfoolery. So I give it 4. That's probably a little high, but I really enjoyed that match. I thought it was awesome. I had a lot of fun with it, so 4. Cowboy.
I said 3.5 bobs. I should mention bobs are much different than stars. It's very subtle, it's nuanced, but there is a difference. I have 3.5 bobs.
They're stars.
On this. Bobs.
Drew?
Also at 4 stars.
Nice.
Okay, and I'm at 3.5. I thought it was a very good match. Great pacing, good action towards the end, and you know, surprising finish.
Drew Gulak defeated Tozawa. Didn't pin the champion.
Yeah. All right, so on to the main card. The opening match was fire. Becky Lynch and Lacey Evans. I've been very critical of Becky Lynch. Even on those entrances, I turned to my wife and I said what I always say. I said, oh, look, who looks like the bigger star? And that's Lacey, the better entrance, the better music, everything. But once that started and they got into it, I have to say I was wrong because Becky overmatched her in everything with the showmanship inside the ropes. And, she did a really good job. She really won me over, and I take back a lot of things that I said. Not to say that her character isn't still a little stale. She's trying to do the whole Stone Cold thing, but in the ring, she showed you why she is where she is, and Lacey showed me that she's just not ready. I like the little mandible claw thing where she put the glove in her mouth. That was awesome because that made me look back and say, oh, my God, did she just do the mandible claw? And, yeah, I just don't think Lacey's ready. I see a title reign in her future, definitely, but right now I think it's time for Becky to move on with that a little bit. It doesn't look like they're stopping that when we get to the main event, but with this whole thing, I just think it's time to move on. Give them both a new feud, maybe something Lacey could win, and Becky can go into something new. Gabe?
Yeah, I'll say it was really interesting. I thought Lacey was prepared for this stage. It seemed like she was a bit overwhelmed. She had a lot of good matches on Raw, and then when it came to this match with Becky, she was outworked, to be honest. You know, the match was overall, you know, pretty decent. I wouldn't say that was the greatest match of the night, but Becky definitely did show why she is the champion and why she should keep it for the foreseeable future.
I'd say I disagree with both of you. I think Lacey is ready. I think that Becky's not that great. I'm not a big Becky fan. I'm an enormous Lacey mark, I will say. And
oh,
I
you
think
don't say.
I am. I think Lacey has that Kurt Angle kind of vibe where she just looks natural out there. I love the crazy outfit. I love the whole I'm wiping sweat off of my armpit and putting it in your mouth because it goes so against the whole I'm a classy Southern Belle kind of thing. It makes her character a hypocrite.
Which, by the way, when she was digging in those trunks, I was so hoping she was going to break out some brass knuckles.
Put those brass knuckles out of this tight!
That's what I thought was coming.
And that would have been cool.
It never did.
They did pull out the old 1992, the heel got her leg caught on the kick, and she's begging her, no, put my leg down. I love that kind of stuff.
Well, I think the points you just made, though, no one speaks to Lacey's character. Her character is awesome. She's got one of the best characters going. I think it's when the bell rang, what Gabe and I were saying was between the ropes, she looked like she was just not ready for that kind of limelight.
I just think that the two of them, like, have like a miscommunication. I mean, it feels like they were a little botchy their go around too.
Look up the gif of her trying to do a kip up.
Who?
Lacey Evans.
All right, I will look up the gif of her trying to do
it's a reminiscent of you trying to do the figure eight, let's just say.
I did pull off a flawless figure eight for those of you who don't know us. But in the end, at the end of the day, I'm no Becky fan. I think that Becky is kind of bland. I think she's hit her peak. I would really like to see a long Lacey title reign. And as we'll get to in the main event, while Lacey lost, which scared me because, you know, you don't want to get into Bray Wyatt territory where you lose and lose and lose and no one's going to buy you as a threat. Her presence in the main event makes me feel that WWE still sees big things for her.
Absolutely.
No sell, Drew. Are you going to no sell what I just said about Lacey as a contender?
Pretty much. I mean, I thought it was a solid match. I'll admit, I am a Becky mark. I agree that Lacey looked a little sloppy. I don't think she was quite ready. I mean, I did like her character work. That was good. But it seemed like she was not in the right position a few times and stuff like that. I also enjoyed the mandible claw spot.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. So stars, Drew, we'll start with you. How many stars?
I have 3 stars.
3? Good.
Yep, I'm with you, Drew. 3 as well.
Yeah, I'd go with a straight 3 across.
It's actually kind of surprising to me that you rate it as 3. 3 means, you know, that's a quality match. I didn't think it was very good. I mean, I only have 2 bobs.
And see, the reason I give it those because I think Becky showed me, like, I kind of been missing that from Becky, where she did show me something that I kind of haven't seen in a while, where it was like kind of the bland promos and word for word things that she was kind of doing, but she let her action do the talking, and, you know, it just showed you the different spots that they're in. I mean, Becky's been doing this a lot longer. Lacey's relatively new. So, on to the next one. We had a quick Ali promo. What'd you think of that, Bob? I know you had some deep feelings on that, so we'll let you start with that.
Protect the innocent from harm, even if harm comes upon me. Allow no fear to shape my faith in good. Fight with all of your heart. Do all that you could.
It's just very odd. It was like a vigilante kind of thing where he's patrolling the streets, like kind of how Spider-Man looks like when he's walking the streets of New York. And I just don't know how that's going to translate. Like it almost feels like a Hurricane gimmick. Anybody remember the Hurricane back in the day?
Yes.
Except they're trying to play it seriously. And that worries me. Like, I think that could get really silly very quickly.
Like a Dark Knight Hurricane.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, he's trying to, like...
I didn't really get the superhero vibe from it, though. For me, it was more like a positive type of character. Like, yeah. He was walking around, there's people, like, drinking, doing drugs, hanging out, trying to make bad decisions. He was just kind of going to be that shoulder to lean on. Like, he's from Chicago, which we all know is not the greatest area. And he was just trying to, like... It had more of an edge to it. Like, he wasn't trying to be goofy or anything. So I liked it. At least they're trying something with a character and doing something. I didn't get the superhero vibe from it. I know a lot of people thought that, but...
Well, what is Samoa Joe going to be like smoking a cigar backstage? He's going to be like, excuse me, sir, put that out.
No, I just think it's a positive character for people to get behind.
Why? Why would Joe say that?
I don't think he's going to tell adults not to smoke a cigar. I don't think that's the new gimmick.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's what you kind of sound like.
No, I think, because if you look at it, I mean, he was obviously in a rough area in the vignette, and he was, you know, going up to people trying to, like, you know, help them.
What was most strange is, I don't recall... any of this in Sub-Zero's backstory. So, it's a real twist on his character.
Drew, any thoughts on the Ali promo?
Yeah, intrigued to see where it goes. See.
No Cell, Drew and I we're hopeful for this.
Hey, the Hurricane has a win over the Rock.
Yeah, but... You know.
Now, shouldn't he steal Dolph's gimmick that it should have been him?
No, I don't think he wants to do the drugs himself.
No, with Kofi.
Oh. Put it down, it should have been me. All right, next up was the tag match, which a lot of us were not really looking forward to just because of the way that Owens and Zayn have been being booked, but... Right out of the gates, that's the Owens that I was talking about that I wanted to see where he just came out there and kicked the crap out of Xavier Woods. He kicked ass and he took names. He was looking at stomping ground. Now, I hope they capitalize on this and go a little bit forward. And you know, work on this, that let this be the Owens thing that they're going with. Another thing I like too was thinking about possibly if you're not going to do anything with Owens, let him and Zayn get a good, healthy tag run. If they go with Brian and Rowan versus those two in a program, even though they're both heels, that could be awesome. Do something with them and let us see that, Kevin Owens. They look strong. New Day didn't look that bad. And we all said that New Day's been pretty stale. But it was a much better match than I thought.
Yeah, I love the aggression that Owens came out with. Like we were saying, he went and kicked ass and definitely took names. He must have kicked Xavier at least 4 or 5 times in a row. And I have a big problem with him consistently kicking out of these. I mean, Xavier's not the immortal Hulk Hogan. He's not superhuman. Why is he kicking out of every single move? They did enough for this to have been a squash match.
Oh, yeah, great. Really fun match. Loved Owens' aggression. Loved him, like, taunting Big E while he's beating up Xavier. Much-needed wins for Owens and Sammy.
Much-needed, yeah.
Wish there had been maybe some kind of stakes or some real storyline going into it. But otherwise, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think what added to this, too, was the crowd was very hot for the whole pay-per-view, and it's almost like they were thinking, like, you know, we're Tacoma, Washington, they may never come back here, we're cheering, damn it, no matter what's out here, because the match had no stakes at all, everybody worked very hard, I mean, all four of them are really good in the ring, just really nice that poor Kevin Owens finally got a win of some kind.
And they let him look good in the win, too. You know, it wasn't just like, oh, he squeaked one out. No, he looked dominant in that win. So that was pretty good. Against the New Day, if we're talking about tag teams, that's one of the biggest tag teams in the world. This shows what WWE could do if they actually take the tag division seriously. You know, if, like I said, if you're going to put Owens and Zayn together, put them in the tag division. You could put two heels against each other, and that'll be a great SummerSlam program for a SmackDown Tag Champs.
Yeah.
So I give it 3 stars. That's where I'd go with that. Maybe 3.25, just because I loved the way Owens was booked, and it was an entertaining match.
Yeah, I'd give it 3.25 as well. I love the way that Owens came back with that aggressive style, reminiscent to when he first came out. It was something that's been missing in his character for the longest time. We don't like to see this guy running around and, you know, playing the skirmish little Miz role. He's a badass, and he needs to go out there and be the psycho that he is.
Yeah.
I gave it a 3.5 stars, yeah. Really fun match.
3.25, Bobs.
So we're pretty much all on the same page with that. The next one is what I would call my match of the night, which is Ricochet and Joe. Didn't go the way I thought it was going to go, just because I didn't think they were ready to take the belt off of Joe. But as a huge Ricochet mark that I've been since day one, I'm happy that he won the title. And this is what Joe does best. When you put him with a smaller guy, whether it be Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, AJ Styles, this is when he does his best work, and those clash of styles work amazing together. And it was a different style from Ricochet, too, where he wasn't just relying on all the high-flying stuff early on. He was being aggressive. He was working and doing some things. They had a great match. I'd love to see that again. And to me, I mean, Ricochet looks like a star. I'm going to say right now he's going to be a WWE champion.
I think he's got a little... He lacks very much in the promo and the look department. So, I mean, you know, on the Cowboy Bob scale, which again is the scale that I've invented to rate wrestlers.
The Bret Hart scale.
I'm going to give him a 9 for in the ring. Look, he's got a 4.
A 4 for look? The guy looks like an action figure.
Does he, though?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's got a 4 for look to me. He's got a...
You just want him in a blazer.
Well, like I said, Baron Corbin had a blazer, it would push him over the top to the championship. But
if you had a creator wrestler this day and age on a video game and you were going to create one, 9 times out of 10 they would come out looking like Ricochet and do the moves that Ricochet does. So I'd have to really disagree with that look scale.
Well, I mean, I don't know. What is he, like 5'6"?
No.
No, I don't know.
Looks like a little guy.
5'10".
Well, whatever. He doesn't do it for me. But he's
so say that. Don't give him a 4 on the Bob scale.
Well, it's my scale.
You know.
So I have him at a 15 overall. You need a 23 to win the.
We'll see when he's hoisting up in a few years that WWE title. I'll replay this back for you. Remember, The Rock endorsed him a few years ago, saying that he's a future WWE champion before he even came to there. Did you see him on the pre-show wearing the suit with the glasses and everything? Looks like a huge star.
Oh no! Yeah, complete star quality. The one thing I will say about him is his selling, his facial, like, way too much with his selling. It's over the top, it's unnecessary. So that, with this fictitious Bob scale, I think does bring him down a bit, but nowhere near whatever it was you said, 15 or however low.
Don't you think his entrance is a little heelish? Just a little bit.
The crowd loves him. The people love him.
And ever since they added those bullets...
Like, I don't sword. I don't see why he couldn't be like a Jeff Hardy. Like, you know, not eat big guy.
Minus the drugs.
Not drugs, not great in the mic, but just so excited in the ring that, you know, that he becomes a big star.
But Jeff Hardy became Jeff Hardy when they modified his look, though. They gave him the face paint, they added pyro and all that kind of stuff.
I think he needs
a little more before I would.
First of all, with Jeff Hardy, you needed to do that because there was another Hardy dressed exactly the same. You had to distinguish the two. Trust me,
there's nobody like Ricochet.
Yeah, and if you look around, like, everyone's saying, like, this guy's got star quality, has the it look. The only person I'd say he doesn't have the look is Cowboy Bob.
Well, I'll tell you why I say that, because the guy is, I already said, on the Cowboy Bob scale, it's a 9 for in the ring, but fast forward 4 months from now, we've seen the double flip a bunch of times, we've seen the jump over the rope a bunch of times. What's going to get him to that next level? I think he's got to modify his look, and I think he needs to bump up his promo, but he's a work in progress.
Yeah, the promo definitely has to be worked on, because, you know, he's young and maybe even the selling, but to me the look is down pat. It's the character that just need to work on a little bit, and that'll come. More matches like this.
I'm not saying he's staying this way. The Cowboy Bob scale fluctuates.
I mean, the promo's already come a long way.
Yeah, because I was worried with him a little bit when he came out. He had that first loss to Cesaro and Baron Corbin. I was like, oh no. But they kind of did the teaser like they did with AJ, where AJ lost a few matches, and you're like, oh no, why are they doing this to him? And then, you know, next thing you know, he has one of the best years in WWE history. And AJ also got a little bit better. He got his feet under him and started doing some things. I think that, you know, he definitely does. And start off with the US title and do some things.
No, can we discuss what this does to Joe, who once again is, you know, given the lollipop just to have it taken away from him like a little child in his crib.
Joe's great, but I think this is his role now. You know, he's going to be getting other people over. He'll get a mid-card run. He'll challenge for the title. He's just not going to go over as, you know, the guy, and that's okay. I mean, you're still seeing Joe on TV. He's in meaningful feuds, and he's a great worker. I love Joe. I give this match 4 stars.
Yeah. Right. I'd say, yeah, 4 as well.
I'd say 3 stars. I liked it. I thought it was a little slow, but maybe I like Ricochet doing, you know, his moves a little more.
Yeah.
But it was a solid match.
Yeah, I thought it was 3.25 bobs. It was good.
3.25 bobs. And Bob, for the Bob scale, is working on the work in progress, the Ricochet.
I would like to see him hit 23 on the Cowboy Bob scale. I'm rooting for you, Ricochet.
I hope he gets there. Now, what do you guys think about the tease between him and the club and AJ? Is AJ going heel?
He has to.
I mean, pairing up with his good old buddies.
The good brothers.
I mean, it's great. I loved it when he was a heel, when he first came up, when he was pairing up with those guys as well. Ran a lot of havoc on John Cena. And it's great to see him back in that form.
And I think AJ's my favorite, my number one. But I think it's time for him to do something a little different. It's like Drew talked about this the last time with the chase. Once the guy gets it, it's like he was a champ for a year. He lost it, and now he's kind of like in limbo. I think to have him kind of like, why they haven't used the club earlier on when they signed him 3 years ago, they've teased it a little bit. Let's go full in with it. Let them run roughshod over Raw or SmackDown, and maybe even add Finn to it.
Finn,
you know,
jumping,
you know,
yeah,
then you could have the Finn and AJ, you know, splitting up going forward. But use these guys. You know, these guys are huge international stars. It'll be good for the tag division with the Bullet Club, with Anderson and Gallows. It'll be good for AJ to do something new. It's good for Ricochet to have this feud, and I can't wait to see that match.
That's definitely want to face AJ as a champion. Got a little stale along the way.
I also, they haven't done that dynamic in a while where it's like, who's the real leader of the faction?
Yeah.
Like,
true,
I would
true.
Like to see something like that. That would be kind of cool.
It would definitely would.
That'd be fun.
The next one was Bob's favorite match that he was really looking forward to. As if I know you can't see us, we're not on YouTube yet, but Bob is actually wearing a Heavy Machinery t-shirt right now.
Boo.
All right, so anyway, this was for the SmackDown tag titles. This was Daniel Bryan and Rowan, who are great together. We were pretty critical of this going in, where we were talking about, you know, the fact that Daniel Bryan's being in this position, it kind of pissed us off a little bit. We didn't understand it. Heavy Machinery, we ripped to shreds. After that seeing the match, after seeing the match, I'm going to say that I enjoyed it probably more than I should have had.
I didn't expect it
to be that way. If you look at Heavy Machinery, I know Otis is the funny guy. He does the worm, and he had some good spots. I'm going to give him credit. I ripped him apart in the preview. I'm going to give him credit that he looked a lot better than he had any right to be. Tucker, if they ever did something with him in the future, could be like the Big Cass. If Big Cass didn't totally like squash his chance, he has that big, huge look. This, as I'm giving them credit, though, this was a really bad position to put Heavy Machinery in, because normally people will give them that cheap pop where, you know, they does the worm and the kids are going crazy. But they put him against Daniel Bryan in his hometown.
I didn't know that going in. That's so unfair to them.
It really is unfair. And it's almost like, wow, like these guys, as much as we ripped them apart, maybe had a chance to get over with this. But it was just the wrong building to do that in.
Like, imagine they put the belts on them while they would have lied.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I mean, you would have had to turn them heel, maybe. I mean, they should have really foresaw that, as Daniel Bryan was one of the most over people in the history of the WWE going home. And maybe that's why they did this, where we were saying, why didn't they pick another tag team for this? Maybe they foresaw this, but then they sacrificed them. But it just stunk, because these guys did look better than I thought they could do.
I thought that really factored into my overall enjoyment of the match, just because it just doesn't make sense to put them in. There's a spot in that match where Daniel Bryan does his kicks to, who's the big fat one?
Otis.
So he's kicking the fatty, and he starts hulking up. And I could see that in another city, like,
yeah,
getting over.
Yeah, that was a cool moment. Yeah.
Yeah, like, he's no-selling Drew. He's no-selling these kicks. And it's just not having any reaction, because the crowd is not on their side at all. It's just very odd to book this match at this stage. And while I'm not a fan of Heavy Machinery, I felt bad that they got thrown to the wolves.
Because they did better than we expected. We really didn't see them. I didn't see them in NXT, because I mostly watch the takeovers. You know, I see the highlights and stuff. You know, when they're on SmackDown, I'm not going to lie, I'd probably change the channel or fast forward. But to see them in a full-length match, because this match went pretty long, they had some cool spots. The moonsault from the top, like, you know, even Otis doing that thing. If the crowd was hot for them, we might have even had a different appreciation for it, because you kind of feed off that. But they weren't.
Do you guys feel that this buries Heavy Machinery? Is this a one-and-done, or might this catapult them to future opportunities?
If I were Heavy Machinery, I would be over the moon that I got booked for that roll-up finish. I think that is the best they could have possibly hoped for. I actually thought it was going to be a jobber.
Was it a protected finish?
And he never pinned the champ!
In a sense, it was a protected finish.
TM.
And he never pinned the champ!
I mean, is this schoolboy a protected finish?
And he never pinned the champ!
Definitely is.
Now, Drew, you are an unapologetic Daniel Bryan mark. What did you think?
So as much as I like heel Daniel Bryan, it was really fun to see him, you know, getting the yes chance again and doing all his moves. I was kind of hoping, I guess there was nothing they could do to turn it back against him, but I was kind of hoping in the beginning maybe he would, like, fake tagging in or get in the ring and then immediately tag out, but maybe there was no way to change the crowd. Probably not.
That's a good point.
The biggest issue we've seen so far, still no hemp belts.
Yeah, that does bother me.
Where are they at?
No continuity, and we're going to keep bringing that up until they have the hemp belts.
What better place than home to bring them out?
Well, did you hear the We Recycle chants?
Yes.
which was awesome. I mean, just that shows how good the work Daniel Bryan is. I know he was home, but to get everyone to do the We Recycle chants was awesome. I'll give it 3 stars.
Yeah, I give it 3.25.
For enjoyment.
I was a little hard on it. I gave it 2.25 bobs, because I felt like the odd heel face dynamic hurt the match.
And that's just geography.
I'm at 3.25.
All right, so next we go to what I'm going to call the worst match of the night. And that is Alexa Bliss with Nikki Cross versus Bayley. Do you remember Max Moon? When you were a kid, he came out with, like, the little space gear and stuff. That's what Bayley looked like she was wearing. That's what I thought. I mean, we get on Bayley for her ridiculous outfits. I like it when it's the Macho Man stuff, but this was just like, I don't know. It was good to see Alexa back in the ring. She had more of the heel look. I don't mind the Nikki thing that everyone rips apart because that's Alexa's character. She uses people. And like Nikki, like who's like this new face on the block who, you know, isn't the most stable of people. She kind of uses that to her advantage. I hated the ending of this match, though. To me, the whole match was lackluster to me. It just wasn't that good. And I didn't get the ending. Like,
yeah.
It seemed very botched. I guess they had a plan where that was going to like cost her the match. But like after she knocked her over, she comes in a few minutes later and like stops in the middle of the ring and kind of looks lost. And it just was confusing.
The chemistry just didn't seem there between the two of them. You know, there were a few botched moments. I also don't agree and understand the whole Nikki angle that they're going with. She definitely, obviously, is using her. And
you don't want to play with Nikki?
No, nobody wants to play with Nikki. It was by far the worst match of the night.
You know how I feel about Bayley. I'm not a Bayley fan. It's never done it for me.
Well, you said you liked her outfit, though, last night a lot. You said you really...
I mean, some would say it looked like she was wearing a diaper.
Max Moon. If you don't know who Max Moon is, Google him right now. You will see his gear and tell me that's not what Bayley looked like last night.
It's a stone's throw away from an AC Slater reference.
Max Moon was a wrestler. AC Slater was not a wrestler.
He was a wrestler for the Bayside Tigers.
That's true. That's correct.
One could argue they were involved in every club, and we all know there's only 24 hours in a day, so I call bad creative booking on Saved by the Bell.
But they created buddy bands.
Anyway, back. So we're talking about one ridiculous thing, which is Bayley, to another Saved by the Bell.
Oh, Bayley sucks. I mean,
she's better than she was last night. Last night didn't do her any favors.
No.
I just... It's not a character. I'm like a big grown-up kid, and I like to hug people. Like, that's not a character. Or if you want to call it, I'm just a huge fan who got to wrestle. Like, it's not a gimmick. It's just... It's weird, and it's never done it for me. I concede she's a good wrestler, but maybe if my dream comes true of a heel Bayley one day, maybe she could prove me wrong, because I will concede, not easy to be a babyface in WWE, but it's just never worked for me. And I think that when you see her next to Alexa, just about everybody believes that Alexa is the real star.
Drew?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a fine match. Nothing wasn't that great, but didn't hate it either. I don't mind. I kind of like Nikki and Alexa together. It's kind of growing on me. I wasn't into it at first when Nikki was just being zany. I kind of missed the dangerous Nikki, but now she's sort of getting a little more serious and sort of has reasons to dislike Bayley. So it's getting a little better for me. But yeah, and I like her pushing Nikki in a way during a Bayley's dive. I thought that was a nice spot. But,
oh yeah, yeah, that was that one I got.
Yeah, but then I'm not sure what the end was. Where
I think
I don't know what Nikki was going
to
do.
It had to be botched. I think maybe Nikki was supposed to come in right away, and I don't know. I give it 2.5, and that's me just being generous because I do respect the work of both of them. To me, it was the worst match of the night.
Yeah, 2.5 for me as well. It didn't really do anything for me. Seems as if this is going to continue on as a feud, and I hope eventually Bliss is successful in her attempts.
Yeah, I give it 2.5.
I went 1.75 Bobs.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Yeah. Now, but you've made it clear that Bobs are not stars.
Yes, that's
so
correct.
So is there a conversion rate with this?
They're very close.
With this egomaniacal Bob system rating.
They're very close, Bobs and stars, but we don't have time to get into the differences.
All right, so we kind of all felt the same way about that match. All right, so next was a heavyweight Haas battle between Drew McIntyre with Shane in his corner versus Roman Reigns, a rematch from the WrestleMania program. I do think it was a lot better than their Mania match, but Drew needed that win. You could have had a... Wait for it.
Protected finish.
And he never pinned the champ!
It was written in right there with Shane at ringside. Instead, they have Roman overcome the odds yet again, do 17 Superman punches, which is what got him booed in the first place. We know he's a better worker than that, where he has more than one or two moves. They had him go in there. Drew got his spots in. Drew looked like a monster heel. But at the end of it, all people are going to remember is that Roman overcame the odds and beat two people. We all had Drew winning this match. We thought he needed this. It would have been a protected finish.
And he never pinned the champ! He never pinned the champ!
Instead, I don't know where you go for. Like, why would... Obviously, the program's continuing. On Monday Night Raw, they're going to have the handicap match. But why would you care about it continuing when Drew's already eaten two losses?
Yeah, I mean, disappointed in the match as well. Drew has been built up, as we've discussed before, when he beat Kurt Angle. You know, it was great. And now to see this, same old story with Roman. You know, I had an over-under of 7 Superman punches. I think I was pretty close. It might have been 5 or 4. But... just, I'm so tired of Roman.
Is it any fault of his own, or is it, again, the booking? Like, he kind of got out of that where it was like, you know, like, he came back, people were cheering him. Why are you going to book him the same exact way that got him booed the first time?
Yeah, like they say, poor Drew, he really, really, really needed this win. Match was probably a little too long, but I thought it finished pretty strong, and I have to give credit to Shane. I mean, they really did get the crowd behind Roman. Yeah.
At the end.
At the end. Because
there was a lot of this is awful chants going on early in.
Now, I've been waiting for this match because I have a couple of things to talk about. Now, you know, they call me Cowboy Bob. And I remember...
It's not self-proclaimed.
Well, I remember you actually said Heartbreak Biz, and correct me if I'm wrong. You said the reason we call you Cowboy Bob is because you got your 6-gun shooters of truth bullets in you. And you fire them at will.
All right.
What?
So
that, I don't recall. That must have been the D-Generation X days.
It's because you like to go to the mailbox in your chaps.
Anyway.
Tomato.
The reason I bring that up is there's two truth bullets I have to fire here out of my 6-gun. Number one, Roman should get the win, and he should win it clean because he's the star of the show. Even if you don't think he should be, that's who they want to be the star of the show. He can't, and not every finish can be a protected finish.
And he never pinned the champ! He never pinned the champ!
The guy's gotta win clean. He does have to look strong. He's the one that they want to be at the top. You can argue maybe you want someone different, but that's who they want. So if you want him at the top, he's gotta beat guys like Drew, and he's gotta do it clean.
He already did at WrestleMania. That was why I found it so shocking. It's like,
I know.
Roman's never going to look weak, you know?
Yeah, but you rack up protected finishes.
And he never pinned the champ! He never pinned the champ!
Over and over, and then it kind of does look like a little weak. I mean, you have to have somebody super strong at the top. That's number one. So I had no problem with Roman winning the way he did. To piggyback off of what Drew was saying, I've been, as you know, defending Shane McMahon for months and months with this whole best in the world thing. And what I keep trying to explain to whoever will listen to me, which is generally nobody outside of this room, but basically people are saying, like, Shane's boring, Baron Corbin is boring. But we're in a new evolution of heel here, okay? Because I'll give you an example. Back in the day, I loved Triple H, the My Time Triple H, McMahon-Helmsley era Triple H, and he was like the wisecracking heel, you know. I remember I was telling Gabe one time The Rock came out, he had this little silk jacket on with cheetah print, and Triple H said, hey, Rock, before we get started, I passed an 85-year-old woman in the back, she wants her jacket back. You know, really funny lines like that, and... he can be funny because The Rock is such a good babyface that he'll overshadow however funny the heel is. Shawn Michaels can be a cocky, jerk, funny heel, but he's going up against Stone Cold Steve Austin in his prime.
But look at the guys you're naming. You're naming some of the best to ever do it.
Well, that I am, on purpose, because what I'm saying is we don't have a Rock. We don't have a Stone Cold. You know, Roman Reigns is not good enough to absorb a funny, cocky heel. AJ Styles, when he's a babyface, I'm sorry, but I love AJ Styles as much as the next guy, but if you have AJ Styles going up against Kevin Owens, who's making me laugh with his funny lines, I want Kevin Owens to win because I want to laugh more. I want this funny guy on my screen. We don't have that baby face that can take that. So the new evolution of heel is this boring, pompous heel that gives us no choice but to cheer Roman. That's where we're at.
But now, the dedicated fans like yourself who aren't going to change the channel will do that. But if you look at the ratings right now, it's because, as some people argue, it's that go-away heat. It's that change the channel heat. This person's boring. I'm going to go put on something else. Yeah. And that's where also we are right now. So it's something's got to be done. And again, it comes down to creative. That's all it is. If why did The Rock and other people become this way? Because they had a little bit more leniency. You know, he had a microphone. They let him be himself. Same thing with Stone Cold, where not everyone's going to be there. Maybe AJ Styles isn't that person. You know, he's going to just have his ring work do the talking for him. But we don't know who we have right now because everything is so heavily scripted and produced and booked. And who knows?
Do you think the heel should be more entertaining than the baby face?
Absolutely.
It depends.
You think they should be?
Yeah.
Why?
Me personally, I've always liked heels more.
You're not supposed to.
Well, he's Gabe the Snake.
He didn't
get
that.
That's not some willy-nilly nickname he got. I'm sure one day you could tell stories about why he is called the Snake.
That is true. Drew, should the baby face be more entertaining than the heel?
I don't know if they necessarily have to. I'm also a sucker for the underdog baby face, so maybe I'm not one person. Yeah.
And that's a good point. As far as the underdog, didn't they ruin the story by having Roman win?
True.
Like, what now is he the underdog?
You'll
never think of Roman as that, but didn't they kind of botch this story anyway? Because, like, he was supposed to lose because he's getting outnumbered, and then finally, at the end of it, you think he's going to finally beat Shane, get his revenge, and then move on. But instead, it's like, oh, he's beating his henchman already.
Can we mention that botch by Shane where...
They
couldn't even show it. They changed that camera angle so quickly. Because the second he jumped off, it was, oh shit, he's not hitting this.
Yeah, I think he should. I mean, he's 50. I'm 37. I can't do things I did when I was 27. Should he be trying that move anymore? It's amazing that he could even almost get close at his age, but.
What about the supposed real heat backstage that has been rumored that actual superstars are having a vendetta against Shane because they feel, you know, what's going on? We've put in our time, and we're about 20 years younger than this guy.
Oh, if they were that good, they'd be on TV.
Well, it's not against Shane. It's more against creative people. They love Shane. He's only a performer, so he does not sit on creative.
Yeah.
So what they're saying is, now, is it because Vince thinks McMahon's equal ratings, or is it these writers, because they're so scared of losing their job, that they're just saying, hey, let's book Shane in this because, you know, that'll look good for us.
How many people have gotten Roman chance over the last 4 years? Name them. Who has gotten Roman chance over the last 4 years?
What do you mean by Roman chance?
Where the crowd chanted Roman because whoever Roman was facing got Roman cheered. Because they're chanting Roman. This was the second night in a row.
But you're ignoring that for the first 10 minutes of the match, they were chanting, this is awful as well. Like,
well, Shane's not in the match.
You can't cherry pick the reaction. Like, you have to look at it overall.
Yeah, but Shane wasn't in the
match. Okay, so we'll just go, if you want to just go with that, go with the ratings.
Well, the ratings are bad because of Kofi.
All right, that would be for SmackDown, but the bottom line is
there's a wild card rule.
Okay. The bottom line is, going back to what Drew said, is you love the underdog. You know what kind of faces you like, but as far as heels don't do evil things anymore, and we're forgetting that they're bad guys. Just as much as I say you need blood, you need evil heels. Yeah. If they're not going to be evil and do dastardly things, then what's the point of having them?
And I've always been partial to heels just because I feel they have more leeway, they have more rope to expand on a character. They're not, you know, tied down to this little cookie cutter, you know, expectations that they are being put on.
You're right, but they shouldn't. Like, The Rock was a babyface, and The Rock was taunting people. Do you eat strudel or do you eat pie?
No, that's the attitude era.
It's different time.
Come on, man, this is PG era.
Now there's only two kinds of heels. You're either cocky, and you know, you're a snake,
mm-hmm.
and you're cocky, or what's the other one?
You're like, yeah, those
or you're boring, or you're a coward.
Squirmy little
you don't
coward.
Have those evil people. They're bad guys. Let them be bad. They're either in the authority and they have a whole bunch of goons gang up on you and they abuse their power, or they're a cocky, coward little heel.
But see, with Drew, they were trying to make him like this powerful bad.
But he's losing.
Heel, but he's losing, exactly.
Now, my one last counterpoint for that would be, you know, Samoa Joe, he had that fun little story with AJ Styles. Remember the ridiculous idea that AJ's wife is named Wendy Styles? Remember that whole, we're supposed to buy that that's his real name, but anyway.
Well, Julia Styles, there are people with the last name Styles. It's not like his last name is Punisher or something.
I guess. I just thought that was funny that there was a mailbox that said, like, Wendy Styles.
Kayfabe is alive.
But, you know, the audience isn't stupid. Like, we know that Joe isn't really breaking into AJ's house and, like, terrorizing the kids.
This dude's at my house. What are you doing at my house?
You know, I told Wendy and little Annie that Daddy was coming home, but where are you tonight?
We're going to cheer Joe, as good as Joe is, because he's doing interesting stuff.
Oh, he got booed in that AJ feud, though. He got booed bad in that one.
I don't know. I felt like it started to turn around towards him, you know, because he was just, he's more interesting than the babyface.
Well, he should have gotten a win one of those times.
He should have, absolutely.
And what they should do is you see Drew with Joe. Two monster heels, two guys that are outside the box of what current heels are, and they lose matches. So if you're not winning, like Million Dollar Man would win.
Money isn't everything. It's the only thing. And everyone has a price for the Million Dollar Man.
Like, Ravishing Rude would win. Yeah, they might not win the title eventually, but they were winning on a consistent basis every week, so you took them as a threat.
He wasn't beating Hogan.
Hulkamania!
No. No one was beating Hogan back then, though.
Hulkamania!
Yeah. Well, Roman's Hogan.
Hulkamania!
Unfortunately.
Like, maybe McIntyre should go against somebody else.
Yeah, and we talked about that in the preview. You know, I think it should be. I don't think Drew should have been the one to be sacrificed for this. You could have inserted any generic heel with Shane and had that been the thing if you wanted to give him. So anyway, with that, I give it 3 just because I thought it was better than their Mania match. Had some cool spots. That's it.
Yeah, I'm at 2.5. Wasn't too thrilled with it.
Yeah, I'm at 3. Solid match.
Yeah, 3 bobs built to something fun.
3 stars and 3 bobs. All right, so now we're going to go on to the WWE title, which was a steel cage match. Nothing about this felt like a WWE title match.
Let me just mention that we actually forgot this match was even on the card.
And that's pretty telling.
When it was around maybe 9 o'clock, and we're like, wow, what's left, just Seth? They're like, oh, wait, we forgot about Kofi.
And that's pretty telling. I love Dolph and Kofi. Both of them are great performers, but these are not positions that either one of them should be in, I don't think. If you were going to do that, maybe you should have done it 7-8 years ago before we had all this history to look back on and say, okay, we've seen Dolph do this how many times? He doesn't come up in that spot. Or Kofi right now. Kofi, if you're going to try to portray him as this fighting champion, he should not be going against people that are on his level. You should be putting him where he's getting big wins against people that you looked at as above him if you really wanted to build that. The crowd wants to like Kofi, but they're just...
Do they?
I think they do.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's...
They do. It's just... It's... You're not invested in enough. It's like, this was a very boring match. I know you hate steel cages. I thought the steel cage was an attempt for them to try to give it more of a feel. Like, oh, this is a title match and this is more...
But they didn't really do anything with it.
No. I thought there was going to be more spots. And the fact that there's no blood when you are slamming someone's head against the cage is one of the biggest problems with WWE right now. If you're slamming someone's head against all these different pieces of metal, there needs to be blood. Give them the crimson mask, as they would say. That was a huge deterrent to it.
I mean, it just wasn't visually appealing either. This cage in particular... Not a fan of it. You can see how many different camera angles they needed to go to actually get a decent shot. One thing that was surprising, though, is that they kept opening that door. And we've even mentioned how, why won't they just run out the door? Why are they trying to climb out? But in this match, why they actually used that door.
It's always been the rule.
It should be the rule.
I mean, I believe that the only cage they should use is the Elimination Chamber or Hell in a Cell. And if not, come back to the old blue steel cage of our youth.
Yeah. That's in a warehouse in Connecticut somewhere.
Come on,
sure.
Man. Break it out. I want to see Ravishing Rick Rude and Ultimate Warrior SummerSlam.
SummerSlam 91. Or was it 90?
believe it was 90, yeah.
Right, also, not a, we thought there was going to be a lot more spots in this, and there just really wasn't. So that, along with lack of blood, and just it didn't feel like a title match, and they need to start treating the WWE title a little bit more serious.
There's a lot of submission holds, too, that were, like, just not factoring into the finish at all.
Right, ankle locks, and he jumped.
Yeah.
He did a long dash.
Yeah, like, what's the point? What's the point of...
There's no psychology with it.
No,
You work to the leg, and, you know, that should play into a steel cage match where, oh, I can't climb.
I can't run.
I'm going to have to go for a pin or submission now because my leg... No, he did one of the most athletically gifted things we've seen by leapfrogging over Dolph Ziggler.
Literally leaping out of the cage over Dolph Ziggler and leading to victory inside this steel cage match.
I make no bones about my hatred for this Kofi title reign. I think it's terrible. I think it's just to appease the internet at this point, and it needs to be moved on from very quickly. I think we're all seeing why he was a mid-carder for 11 years, and there's nothing wrong with being a mid-carder for 11 years.
No, he was a Hall of Famer even before this. And like I said,
absolutely no argument. He's a Hall of Famer. I would say that before the title
reign. If you were gonna do that. I just think that, you know, it did come about organically. Drew and I talked about this. I liked it initially. I just don't think that they're doing a good job with it now. Like, I love Dolph. He is one of my favorites of all time, also a Hall of Famer. But he wouldn't be someone to fix that Kofi problem with anyway. Let's say he did win the title. You're in the same position because you have a guy who's been programmed into our minds that he is a mid-carder.
Dolph was the least credible champion for a world title match since Kane in, like, 2018.
See, I'd argue that Baron Corbin is even less.
Oh, that would be a heated argument with me. Because I love my Baron Corbin.
Which is a problem with this pay-per-view, because I think going into this, you know that these two don't have a shot to win the title, and that's your two main matches.
Yeah. And we especially know that this is probably it for Dolph for a while.
Right.
They mentioned even yesterday that this was more or less his first action since Royal Rumble. So for him to be thrust into the championship picture for about a month, month and a half, and then taken right off, you know, really what was the point? It's almost as if it was a Band-Aid, a filler opponent.
But not the right kind of filler. Like you said, we talked about this before we started recording. Why not put him up against Randy Orton? Let him get a win against an established big name. By not doing that, you're only hurting his entire title reign. Because who's he beating?
I mean, maybe they feel that, you know, Dolph could take the loss and make him look a bit better, but
are the
it's
us
doing the opposite.
Fan. Yeah. It's saying, oh, this is who we need to feed him because, yeah, this guy was doing comedy for 6 months. He came back, and now here he is in a title match.
Bob is bootlegging Dolph's comedy act.
You're going to go see him at Bananas, right? In Hasbrook Heights?
Yes, I can't wait.
He's got DVDs in his trunk.
But, yeah, I mean, the whole title picture on both brands right now is something that needs a total reboot, and we need to start making the titles feel more important. Like, right now, I'm most excited for the U.S. title. You have AJ Styles and Ricochet.
Yeah.
The fact that that's a mid-card title, but that's going to be the most exciting one. And the WWE title, let's be honest, and the Universal title have been a problem for the past over a year. It's not headlining pay-per-views or the Universal Champions not showing up. They haven't taken them seriously. So really just saying that Kofi's not worthy, it's been a problem with the title in general.
I personally think that Randy Orton is going to be the next challenger. I think they're going to... I could see something like Randy Orton challenging and then a certain Funhouse purveyor comes back for his revenge on Orton for ruining his House of Horrors.
for burning down his house, which was...
Yes. Yeah, he did burn it.
And no legal ramifications for that. Just burn down a fat man's house. I mean, if any kids are listening, don't ever do that. You will do time. Hard time, as the boss man would say. Cobb County, Georgia. If you ever take a trip down to Cobb County, Georgia, you better read the sign.
Yeah, this was actually my least favorite match of the night. Nothing wasn't really anything groundbreaking. Didn't seem to use a cage. They don't seem. I don't know. You would think on paper Kofi and Dolph would be great together, but it's just not. I don't know if Dolph's just not interested or what, but it's just not working. The only thing that was really cool. I did like the spot at the end with him back.
That was cool. I enjoyed that. I like that we talked about the door before, that they never used the door. It's like they pretend it's not there. So I like that factored into the decision. But yeah, Kofi and Dolph on paper should do a much better match, and it wasn't there.
I mean, for all we know, one of them might be a little injured. There was a lot of ground game definitely from Dolph. Maybe he couldn't hit certain spots.
I think Dolph crying at the end was a shoot. I think he was legit crying that it's come down to this, that he just loses.
How many times do you want to
should have been me?
That's not scripted. He really thinks that.
Drew said about his motivation. You know, how many times can you go out there and say, I'm going to put on a great match, but I'm going to end up short?
Yeah. I mean, he knows it's not going
anywhere. Yeah, right? Like,
he's probably just going to disappear.
It's got to take its toll eventually. Yeah.
So I
guess. I mean, hopefully this is the end of him and Dolph. I don't really want to see him
back. Oh, God. And we'll get into that as a wrap up. But I give this 2.75.
Yeah, 2.5 for me.
I'll give it 2 stars.
I had 1.5 Bobs, worst match of the night.
That is a low Bob score.
Because it's like you're watching like a peeping Tom through like this one like little chain link fence the whole time.
Have you seen this through a chain link fence?
Let's move on to the main event, shall we?
They don't call him the cowboy for nothing.
Assless traps.
Now on to what would be the main event, Seth Rollins and Baron Corbin. Now, I think I could just kind of say the same thing for this match.
Now, let's say, before we get into this match, for those of you who don't know, Heartbreak Biz hates fun, and he is a curmudgeon. So, with that being said, what did you and your Blackheart think of the fun match?
Ooh, Blackheart, we're talking about good heels, Tommaso Ciampa. That's a heel. He spoiled the end of Infinity War.
He is a good heel.
That's a heel.
He is a good heel.
Some would say the best. Anyway, make no mistakes about it, Seth Rollins is one of my favorite of all time, but you're only as good as your challenger. Nobody thought Baron Corbin was winning this match, even with a special guest referee. To me, Corbin, you can't ignore those boring chants. You want to say it's a reaction? It's a reaction, yep. Yes. But I was bored in what was a main event of a pay-per-view. I was bored. The Lacey thing made sense of her being the referee because it ties into the whole Becky thing. They're talking about that relationship every chance they could get. But what sense does it really make if Lacey has been beaten clean twice? Baron Corbin was beat yet again. Why do we need to see this go on any longer? How many times do you have to get beaten clean?
I agree with that. I hate that. Like, I hate that it's just like, you lost the match as a challenger, yet you somehow keep getting title matches over and over again. Hers the referee, I had a couple of different thoughts on it.
I was conflicted with it too. It made sense, but I didn't particularly like it just because I was like, whoa, that's it? Like,
I have to add that I predicted this. Not her specifically, but I did say, what if they had a woman such as Charlotte? I didn't think of Lacey, but we did mention...
You thought it was going to be a blonde woman.
Yes, there we go.
There you go. Close enough.
We did mention because Seth wouldn't be able to hit a female ref with a chair. He wouldn't be able to. And it played beautifully. I mean.
See, that's what I liked about it, that it made Corbin actually look smart.
Yeah, I felt kind of dumb. I didn't see it coming. They kept mentioning their relationship. And, like, it should have been pretty obvious that was going to be the chick, but.
The reason it wasn't obvious though is because Lacey again lost the match clean, so you wouldn't think that there's any, like, you think we're trained to think that, oh, she lost clean twice, now they're moving on.
Yeah. Well, that's the second half of her being the referee. What sucks is while I enjoyed this match because I like fun and I like shenanigans,
but you find, let me point out, yes, you find something fun that 20,000 people were chanting boring too.
Well,
so really, who's the curmudgeon?
They want them back at the end.
They definitely want them back.
Couldn't have been that they were like, yes, it's over.
No.
I mean,
think they were reacting to the stuff.
I think people really enjoy it. Once the shenanigans kicked into high gear, where she's changing the rules as she went along. Because what I love about
that
is,
she did no-sell that stuff, and this goes back to what we talked about with her not being ready yet. The referee, the heel move is always like, you pretend you hurt your leg or you did something. She was just like, pausing for a little while and then like walking over to the microphone. Like she did not look polished even in that role.
She did. I can't count three. I hurt my arm on the third one. Oh, that
was fantastic.
And I love Corbin's excuses for her, that she was tired from a match before, or the arm bar was why she couldn't count out.
Oh, it's great. And Corey, you know, she's from the South, Cole. They do things slower down there. I mean,
listen, Lacey Evans already competed here tonight. She had a grueling matchup. She's from the South. Some say maybe she does a little slower. It's just the way she counts. It's the pace she chooses.
To me, something that your guys are ignoring, that the entire crowd was chanting boring for three quarters of that match.
Yeah, I'll say that the match in itself was nothing to write home about. I think Lacey made the match with her antics. It was refreshing to see something like that. It really brought me back to the past in the early 90s where we had, you know, the hijinks like that. But did it take away from the match itself, would you say?
I think that the way it takes away from the match is, on one hand, it makes sense in storyline. It makes Corbin look like a smart guy. Even Seth sold it like he didn't know how to react. He didn't see it coming. But the problem is, while I enjoyed the match, the second Lacey comes out, you can just shut off the TV because you know exactly how it's going to go. There's no possible other ending other than Becky coming down and, you know, saving Seth. But with that being said, it saved what would be an otherwise boring match in my point of view. Drew, does Seth look emasculated as champion that he needed like his little Irish girlfriend to come down and save his title?
I don't think so, because he couldn't do anything about Lacey. Otherwise,
he was being a gentleman.
I don't think that made him emasculated.
He did hold the ropes for her and say, "You're the man."
She held the ropes for him.
Oh, is that how it went?
Yes, because she is the man in the relationship. Now, Gabe, do you think that she emasculated Seth by doing that?
I mean, this is 2019.
A bit, but you know what?
She did slap his ass.
Women are equals no matter what you say, Cowboy Bob.
Yeah.
is that what I'm arguing? That women
another problem that I have with this here is, again, with the Lacey and Becky thing. Two clean wins for Becky. It's like, all right, Corbin, how many times are you going to lose to Seth? So now, what I hope for is this better be on Raw, this mixed tag match, because if it's Extreme Rules, I could care less about that match.
What I'm afraid of is that this is going to go on for the next 2 weeks or so, and it's going to be an Extreme Rules match, because since it's right around the corner, about 2.5 weeks, they don't have enough time to dig up a competitor for Seth. So this is going to happen most likely, and then finally a competitor will show himself for SummerSlam.
This is where I don't understand WWE, though. You had people about Stomping Ground. People didn't want to go see it. People didn't want to watch it. Why? Because they didn't want to see Seth versus Corbin. So now you're going to double down and do that for the next pay-per-view again.
But they're tagging up the two champions. This is what they're banking on. The woman's champion, the male's champion, but, and to boot, they are a real-life couple.
I bet they put both titles on the line, too.
We can't pretend that Becky is getting the same reaction that she was during that whole thing. Like, that's cooled down so much. Again, if you were going to do this, you should have done it then. You're doing it too late, and you're doing something that people, if you go on Twitter, if you read articles, everyone's revolting against this whole angle. They hated Stomping Grounds because it was, again, Corbin versus Seth.
Now, if they really wanted to do it well, they would do Becky and Seth versus Charlotte and Andrade.
They won't. They don't have time to set that up, though. That would be great on paper, but there's...
Wouldn't that be a great match?
Yeah.
You know, for Extreme...
That's the intergender match we want.
For Extreme Rules, what Heartbreak Biz wants... He wants the rules to be enforced to an extreme degree in every match.
It's
make sure there's no fun stipulations.
No, what they
make
should
sure
do.
There's no wacky antics.
What he they wants- should do, it's in Philadelphia. If you're going to call it Extreme Rules in Philadelphia, if you're not going to get Extreme, they're going to get booed out of that place.
And they should be.
Because that's Philadelphia, that's ECW land, and if they're not going to bring the blood and they're not going to bring the chaos, be prepared to be booed even more than they were at Stomping.
You said you might even go with a sign that said, "Bring the blood."
You can't go to the ECW's land and not get Extreme. You can't call it Extreme Rules and go out there and go, ha-ha. Like, no, you need to bring it. And it's going to be a stupid chairs match, because what has Seth been holding for so long? Now, to me, I texted you guys this last night. Seth Rollins is one of the greatest performers doing it today. If he needs all those bells and whistles for a main event, there's a problem there with the booking and creative. Because Seth should not need any bells and whistles.
Drew?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a fun match. I enjoyed it. I also enjoyed all the shenanigans and antics. I like the Becky run in. I still think the crowd's behind her. I don't know.
They're behind her, but not like they were.
I still think she's a star. I disagree with you guys there. But.
Gabe?
Yeah, I mentioned it. The match itself wasn't anything special, maybe 2.5. But Lacey...
2.5 bobs?
Stars.
Absolutely not. I don't use fraudulent terms.
Egomaniacal terms?
Yeah, we could say egomaniacal. The narcissist 2.0.
He does have that mirror in his room that he flexes in front of.
And he does have the blonde wig that he puts on as well. Anyways, Lacey definitely added so much to this match. I think without her, this was a snooze fest, and they would have been chanting boring throughout the entire match.
Yeah, I give it 2.5.
Saying it's without Lacey, I mean, it's like saying, besides that, Mrs. Lincoln, how is the play? It's three and a quarter bobs, and Lacey is a major factor in that. Because
three
Lacey,
and a quarter bobs?
Yeah.
He's an egomaniac and a Baron Corbin apologist.
It's half true.
I give it 3.25 stars, not bobs.
That's right.
Fair enough.
So overall, how many stars would you give the pay-per-view? I'd give it a solid 3.25.
Yeah, I'd give it a solid 3.5.
Yeah, solid 3. It's like a mild thumbs up for me.
Yeah. It's not a thumbs down.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, solid 3.
Right. So we enjoyed it. We were surprised because we did not have high hopes for it. So we all found something in it that we enjoyed. Let's hope it goes further. But again, with the next one, if you're going to Philadelphia and you're not going to get Extreme, it goes to the Daniel Bryan stuff that we were talking about in Tacoma. If you're going to go there and you're not, you're going to call it Extreme Rules and you're not going to go all out, that crowd is going to turn on you.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of years ago, we went to an Extreme Rules in Newark and there was maybe one or two Extreme matches. I think a steel cage and maybe a ladder match. I'm not sure.
I don't even remember
if there was.
Or maybe it was a chairs match. I know it was Jericho and Dean.
Oh, no, that was a really silly match. It was a cage, but they had all those props on
it. Yeah,
the Ambrose Asylum.
Yeah.
That's Mitch the Plant.
Mitch the Plant. Yeah.
You can't do that in Philadelphia.
No, you can't. But unfortunately, like, I remember, this is actually a great match, but they had a Fatal 5-Way match. That, like, qualifies as Extreme now. That's just a stipulation.
They're just throwing, but again, know your audience, know where you are, and plan accordingly, because if you don't, and we talked about it before, the crowd is a huge portion of it. If the crowd's not liking something, you kind of check out a little bit. If the crowd is white hot and they're into something, you know, you feed off that as a fan. And
absolutely.
Hopefully we see a good card shape
as
up.
We've experienced NXT.
I also think Extreme Rules, I have personal high hopes for it because it's like the little filler pay-per-view before SummerSlam, so you want to generate some big interest. So they've got to have something up their sleeve for it. I mean, just a standard intergender tag match with, you know, where we still pretend the female Stone Cold is riding high, that's not going to do.
Yeah, if that's the most extreme thing, and it's going to be a chairs match, like I said, because Seth's walking around with a chair. So hopefully the cards start shaping up and we can do our preview soon and give our thoughts. Any closing statements?
I think the bob scale's catching on.
We shall see. Maybe you'll have some merch, the bob scale. Gabe, any closing remarks?
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to see if they pick up on the momentum that they had from last night. I'm not sure if it's legitimate momentum or if we're jaded by the Super Showdown being so terrible that, in contrast, this seems to be fantastic.
Undertaker Goldberg Extreme Rules.
Oh, yeah, it was extreme just to see them try to go 2 minutes.
It's true.
Goldberg almost died. That was awful. Drew, any closing thoughts?
No, just happy that seems to be hopefully maybe moving in the right direction. We'll see what happens.
Right, and like I said, there's a glimmer of hope after a decent pay-per-view. Monday Night Raw is on tonight. Hopefully we see something that intrigues us, sets up Extreme Rules, and, you know, sets up some new storylines and stuff we could come back and share with you guys. That's it for our review of Stomping Grounds, kicking ass and taking names.